I want to speak to you this morning on inheritance. In Psalms 47:4, it said, "He shall choose our inheritance for us." I'd like to go on record as saying that I'm delighted this morning that He is the one that chooses our inheritance. The excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. The excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. Now, the subject of inheritance, I don't know how many services I'll take to develop it. It depends on what the Lord inspires and what He doesn't, of what He gave me to share with you. But there is two sides of this inheritance. The inheritance, an inheritance can be equally used with the word portion. The only reason He uses inheritance is because there was the death of someone, and in the wake of that death, there is a will left. And that will is our inheritance. We inherit. In other words, it is given to us through the death of someone else to possess. And sometimes wills have conditions. Sometimes wills have directions. Sometimes wills have time limits to them as to when you can enter in. Like many times an inheritance from people that die were left in their wills to their children, but not until they were 21 years of age. It's left in an escrow, so there is a time limit set to an inheritance. And so there are several factors that govern an inheritance, but basically an inheritance is a portion that you are left, that you didn't earn. It's not yours. You are given. Basically, it's a gift. So we can use the word portion and inheritance interchangeably. The Bible does, but the Bible uses the word portion when it speaks of God, and it uses the word inheritance when it speaks of us, because the portion, God didn't die in order to leave a portion for Jesus. That's why you cannot call it the inheritance. But there is an inheritance for Jesus. It's just called a portion. And there is an inheritance for us, but Jesus had to die in order to leave it to us. There had to be the death of one that we might will that inheritance, see, because the inheritance belonged to Him. Everything belonged to Him. And in order for us to come into that inheritance or to have the inheritance, someone had to die. Now, it was a marvelous plan of God that the inheritance that He left unto us, having Christ died to leave it to us legally, He satisfied the law. Therefore, the inheritance could now be ours. Technically now, because God is just as technical as He is legal, and He's merciful as He is just, God found in the technicalities that by raising Christ from the dead, He didn't undo the work of death. He did die. Therefore, we get to inherit it, but so does He, because He liveth forevermore with us. And so now we both jointly inherit. Now, as we begin to unfold the plan, you will see how marvelous it was, because God, from the very beginning, intended that we should inherit from God a portion that we were not able to bring about on our own. In other words, the giftings that were in us weren't sufficient enough to bring about this wealth. And so He had to find a way to give us this wealth justly. And God doesn't just distribute gifts because. There are reasons why He does it. There are just causes why God will give a person one gift and a person another. That's why He doesn't want us to envy it, because we who have no knowledge of the things as they really are and cannot see things as they really are, want someone else's gift. Why'd you give it to them and not me? And we look at their worth on the outside. God gives people gifts. First of all, there's many wonderful gifts that we inherit, and I've been on the subject before, and those giftings are natural giftings, to be an artist or to work with money or to make riches or for teaching or whatever. There are natural gifts that God puts within us. Now, those are naturally yours because your parents, who had them from the beginning, granted them to you through genetic structure. Now, that is why you have them and I don't. And that's why I have certain things you don't. And you can covet them, you can envy them, but you shouldn't. Because no matter what you do, they can't be yours. You work yours. You got yours. You may like them, you may not like them, but you got them. And they are yours. Use them. That's to the greatest advantage to you. Just use them. And you see, on the other hand, or by the other token, these inheritances that we have that are given to us by God as gifts in our life, I use the word inheritance, portions, as gifts in our lives are yours. Now, we didn't merit them. We didn't do something to earn them, but in a sense, we did. Because we were the child of that parent who had them, and the parent of that parent who had them, and we had it coming genetically. That habit coming genetically is an earning, is a factor of merit. And so we have merited that by being the child of who we are, and the sons or daughters of who we were or are. And that is why we need to understand that we shouldn't covet other people's giftings or whatnot, but God is just. God didn't just take a gift that belonged to somebody else's father and give it to you just because. God is just. He does things rightfully. And so the Lord has given us many wonderful portions, and the same thing happens in the ministry. I see men that have tremendous gifts, and many times I wish I could have gifts like they have. But I know God had reasons. I know God is just. I know that He gave Jesus to distribute the gifts. That's why He said that when He died, He ascended up into heaven and received gifts for men. He received gifts for men to be able to give out according to His will, distributed by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, who is the power of God, might work them through us. Because you can have a gift and not be able to work it. You can have a car and not know how to run it. You can have something and not be operational. The only way it can become operational is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can learn how to drive. You can push the gas pedal. If there's no gas in it, which is a source of power, you won't get anywhere. If there's not a combustion engine or any other type of mobility power, you won't get that thing to function. And it's the same thing with the gifts. Gifts operate through faith. And in order for faith to be released, God has to work in our lives to bring both patience and compassion. Because faith works through patience and faith works through compassion. And so a developed or mature person will have a mature patience and will have mature, we're talking about patience with the Lord and patience with the Spirit and patience in things of the Spirit, not just patience in silly things. The patience that God works in us through the trials of faith. Now, faith becomes operational through our life. In other words, some people have a greater capacity to release that faith that God has given them than others. That's because there's a development there of the gift that God gave them. So when God gives us a gift, as I've told you before, it comes in seed form, and then as we, as a person, develop, that gift develops with us, and the sky is the limit. There are two things that will unlock faith, and it's conversely and directly related, proportionately related. As God works compassion and tenderness in your heart, and as God works patience in your heart, faith will have a greater and larger operation through your life. And now these things are the hard things in life, because God brings about compassion through broken hearts. God brings about compassion through death of loved ones. God brings about compassion through sicknesses and things you go through. God brings compassion in our lives through things we can identify, so someday faith can flow through a life that can identify with what you're going through. Because if they can't, how can faith flow? There's no connection. Now, you might get it through someone else, but you won't get it through this vessel. Now, I want to turn from faith, and because I've called that a portion, a gift, and I want to turn to an inheritance, which is a gift, but it's greater than a gift. Greater than a gift, although Christ had to die and ascend to receive these gifts for men, which are very wonderful and make, a theme in itself, I have another theme this morning, and that is our inheritance. And we're going to look at this from two points, from two angles, God's side and our side. He also received an inheritance. We did. When Christ died, it worked two ways. It worked as inheritance upward and downward. I will start with the downward. I will start with ours, and then I will go on with His. He shall choose our inheritance. The choice isn't ours. The choice is His. But one thing we know, one thing we do, by looking at this verse, we know that we do have an inheritance. Because it says, He shall. It doesn't say He might. It doesn't say He thinks. It doesn't say He would like to. It says He shall choose our inheritance. So there isn't a question as whether we will have an inheritance. There is no question at all to this. There is an affirmation. It shall be. He shall choose. Now I'd like to back off and look at those three or four words again, and I'd like to add another emphasis. He. We don't choose it. He. The affirmation of shall, the fact that He does it, and the third is that God has made a choice. God can make choices. God could have chosen anything to be our inheritance. God could have chosen many inheritances. God, in fact, did in this inheritance, this great inheritance, give us many things. We will look at just a few. But God in this inheritance gave us to have many things. But God shall choose our inheritance. And when it says the word for us, it means that there is no room for our merits. Just like we don't get righteousness by our own works, we don't get sanctification by our own works. Now we don't come into our inheritance and possess it by our own merit, by our own work, or what we do, because he said for us. For us not only implies, but directly assures us that it has nothing to do with what we would be doing, but that he's going to do it for us. It means in substitute of. It means instead of. So we can't come to a place and say, well, you know, I inherited this, thank God for that. No, Paul said, I know that I will inherit a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall, say it, give me. He said, not a righteousness that we earn by our own merit, not having claimed that I attained it on my own, but knowing this assuredly, that I have fought the good fight of faith, and there is waiting for me. In other words, all he did is hang on to the promise that God gave. Maybe he got it from here, except that he would have had to accept what inheritance it was. So, first of all, he. Second of all, shall. Third of all, there's inheritance. Fourth of all, there was a choice. Fifth of all, it's for us. So now we see that this has to do a lot with God. And second, we see that we've inherited something. And all I am today is the executor of that will. I am here to tell you what you've inherited. That's all I am. I'm just like a lawyer or a person appointed to sit you down at the table as people who have been left in the family, bereaved by someone you love, and sit you down and tell you what you've inherited. That's my job. It's not any more or less than that. I'm honored that he should count me worthy to do that little simple job. But the truth of the matter is that I'm not giving you this inheritance. The money's not mine, and I wish he would have included more of it in me for me. But, you know, be that as it might. And most times, sometimes the executor, the executor doesn't... I did that in Dallas, too. Sometimes the executor doesn't get anything at all, is what I was going to say. And I think when God chooses me, he'd make a better executor than executor. But be that as it might, we'll go on. All right? Now, why would God give us an inheritance? Find in that verse a reason why God would want to leave us an inheritance. Look at it and say it out loud. Huh? Love. Yes, sir. That is why God wanted to leave you an inheritance. I'm here to tell you that you've been left a tremendous inheritance. You know, mine is a great job this morning, or mornings, or evenings. In fact, it's so great of an inheritance, it's going to take me a while to let you know what you inherited. And it's so wonderful, first of all, because I want you to know the context in which it's in. Notice, it's an inheritance left to you through love, not hate, so you can expect something decent. Who did he leave it to? Huh? Esau's? Self-righteous? Well-to-doers? Huh? How many we got of those well-to-doers, Esau's? My, what a confession of faith. God, would you look at this? How many feel you're Jacob this morning and from the family of Jacob? Well, wait a minute. Why don't you raise your hand the first time then if it's down now? How many feel you're from the family of Jacob? I am. Some of your hands aren't up. If your hand isn't up, I'm going to ask you to leave because this, I've got to be the executor of the will left only to sons of Jacob. So maybe you're in the wrong crowd this morning. Let me see your hand. All right, praise God. Now we can go on from Psalm 47:4. We know that God made the choice. We know that it was a choice. We know that there is an inheritance. We know that it is for us. We know that it's the excellency of Jacob, not the horribleness of it, whom God loved, and that was the reason why he gave it. Glory. All right? Hebrews 11, verse 8. I am sad as an executor this morning to have to inform you that there are some conditions. in order for you to come into this inheritance. But like I said, I've got to read to you the will like it is. All right? Besides, I'm one of the few executors who's included in the will. And I'm one of the few that already know what the will contains. And it's wonderful, let me tell you. By faith, Abraham, father of Jacob, grandfather, when he was called to go out into a place, listen to this, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went, but he obeyed. God is placing this inheritance on the basis of obedience. Just as Abraham, in coming into the inheritance which God would give him, obeyed, so must we. You say, obey what? Well, we'll get there later. But we're going to go on here. Now, you may not want to bounce around with me here, there, and somewhere else, so you can just listen and get them off the tape or whatever, or you can just jot them down. I'm going to read to you now out of Deuteronomy 12, verse 9. For ye are not as yet come into the rest and to the inheritance which your Lord, which the Lord your God giveth you. Now that's what he wrote in the will. He wanted me to just pass on to you that neither I nor you had come into the rest of that great inheritance which he had purposed for us. So one thing I want to establish already this morning is that as far as the Lord's concerned, we still don't have it. We might be coming into it, but we still don't have it. And that he had purposed this inheritance for us. Now the inheritance is multi-purpose, but it's focused on one main issue. Like, let me put it this way. Let me give you an example. You may have inherited a $30,000 house, and you know the executors always tell you the small things first. You know. Because you didn't know who this great-grandfather or grandfather was. You never met him in your life or whatever. You don't know. And so they start with, well, in California, you inherited, you know, a small little shack up in the hills. It's not worth anything, you know. It's only about $30,000. You inherited that. And you inherited two cars. And he goes on and he goes on. You inherit these things. No, they're wonderful. They're glorious. They even get better. And then he says, and in a Swiss account, $2 billion. Oh, my God. You see, that is the big one at the end. So I'm going to leave the big one for the end, if you don't mind. All right? I got to do this right. And if I don't, well, there's two lawyers here who'll set me straight. Okay. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. To give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. So now, we put two curious things together. If you put Psalms 47:4 and Acts 20:32 together, you come up with a great equation. You will find that Jacob can't stay Jacob. He must be sanctified. Receiving the inheritance in them who are what? Sanctified. God wants Jacob, but God wants to change Jacob. And so here, therein, is our second condition. Before we can inherit the big one, we have to become part of the group of those who are sanctified. You know, if we had known before that we'd inherited what we did actually inherit, we wouldn't have put the brakes on and put our heels in the ground and looked like mules drugged through the ground. You know, when God's fire and holiness started cleaning us up and his word started sanctifying us, we said, oh, God, that's so scary. My goodness, you know, I'd better seek another church. And boy, our feathers weren't just ruffled, they were singed and burned. Tell you what, that was a hard process. But little did you know that God was cleansing Jacob so you could inherit your inheritance. God didn't leave Jacob like he was. God wants us to know that all this, Jacob, God's not smiling on Jacob and saying, I love you because you're filthy. God is holy. God is clean. He is merciful, but he's just. And we have to understand, God, that when he left a will, he left a very marvelous inheritance for us. I mean a great inheritance for us. And the latter is greater than the former. But yet, in spite of all this, There was a condition of obedience and there was a condition of sanctification. Now, this sanctification, I want to tell you, is part of our inheritance. I told you I'd start, you know, somewhere. To be sanctified was part of that inheritance. That was his purpose for us. And as his purpose, he said he would choose the inheritance for us. He will also execute it for us. Because it's not something we do for ourselves. It's something that he has done in us. Now, I'm going to stop here and put a little in parenthesis and tell you something real quickly, and then I'm going to go on with the part of the inheritance that has to do with sanctification, if you'll allow me. When I was in Uruguay having services, I believe it was the beginning of this year. It was either last year or the year before. And the Lord began to really speak to me. The Lord really drew near to me. And I thought, well, maybe I'll, you know, end up with a service here tonight, because I never know why the anointing comes over me so strong like that sometimes. And the Lord began to speak to me. And the more he spoke, the more I realized he was speaking to me. That was just something between God and I. And I want to give you a little portion right now of what he said to me that day when I was there on the platform, which I don't believe I've shared with anyone before. It was out of the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 16. He said, "But rise, stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those in the which I will appear unto you." Now, I hesitated as I read there because it brought a lot of wonderful memories to me. But the Lord, that's when the Lord began to impress on my mind that I was to begin to be a witness. That's why he wanted me to begin writing things down like I did about Panama, which is all in writing, and other things that I have started and will continue to do, because the Lord told me to stand up, to rise, and to begin to call forth these things and to begin to let them know that the day would come when he would release them to be known. The things which he had done and the things which he would do, the things which I had seen and those things which should appear unto thee. And the Lord began to speak to me then about the inheritance and that he was making me one of the executors of that inheritance. And that's a very wonderful privilege. What I'm doing today is an extension of it 2 years later upon his call to my heart to do it. Sometimes you have to wait on the Lord. Sometimes when he gives you something, you have to hold it and not run with it. But I'll go on with it. In verse 17, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes," verse 18, "and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God." Now these are the words to Paul. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, the Lord also, when he put this word into my heart, gave me the understanding for it. I began to understand what he was beginning to say to me, and also what he continued to say to me. The Lord wanted me to be, as it were, the executor of this will, to be the one that causes people to know it and make sure that they got it, and make sure that they inherit it. Now, it's not easy. First of all, you have to find out what the inheritance entails. But first of all, I realize that it can only be distributed among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And he wasn't saying sanctified by faith that is in them. He was saying sanctified by faith that is in me. When we come into his faith over our life and not our faith over our life. When we come into the faith of his spoken word. You see, he knew he spoke the word and brought the elements into existence. He knew he spoke the word and created man. He knew that he spoke the word and brought into life all that is. He knew that he also spoke the word and sanctified it. So we have to enter into that faith, into the knowledge of that faith. That's why he said, open their eyes, the eyes of their understanding, releasing them from the prisons of darkness, that they might come from the power of light, the power of darkness, to Satan, unto the power of light, and that they might receive the forgiveness of sins. You see, God has given it, but we must receive it. You know, there's a lot of people that can't forgive themselves. We must receive it. That is part of our inheritance. We are to receive our inheritance among those who are sanctified by the faith that's in him and those who have received forgiveness for sin. Folks, you cannot come into your inheritance, any portion of it, until these conditions are met. Now, fortunately, he didn't put 100 conditions. He put very few. But these are there. They stick. It's got to be a deal. Do we have a deal or not? No deal, no further. Yeah, but all of you raised your hand. And I didn't hear all of you say yes. I still haven't. All right. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. I feel better this way. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham, now remember this, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. In other words, what God prepared for us, no one's going to annul it. You're going to get it, and we can't add to it because it came from God. He said it was done for us, so you can't do anything more about it. Now, here's what it is. Add it there too. Verse 16. Now, to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not to his seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, that is Christ. And to thy seed, and Paul now says, which is Christ. Verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, that is, Abraham, cannot disannul. In other words, it can't do away with the other one. That it should make the promise of none effect. In other words, the promise came first, the law came later. The law cannot disannul our inheritance. Did you hear that? Because the law came afterwards, and our inheritance came by promise. Both the Jews and the Gentiles, by promise. The law will work its work in us of showing us how terrible a sinner we are. But once it has, it cannot disannul our inheritance. And our inheritance, the first part, is to be sanctified. And once you're sanctified, the law has no room for you. It has no work on you. It's finished its work. But we go on. Verse 18. For if, and now he doesn't call it the promise, now he calls it, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What? The inheritance. The inheritance. And the inheritance wasn't Canaan. That was just the land he would dwell in. The inheritance was a seed that he would give him. The child of promise, which was born long after Abraham died. Because in Hebrews 11, it said they all died without seeing the promise, and Abraham saw Isaac. But God wasn't speaking of his seed, plural as many, but of his seed, which he never saw. That was the promise. That was the inheritance. And I won't tell you any more than that. But the wise, be wise, because we're going to handle that at the end. All right? For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. In other words, the inheritance of God stands on a promise, a free promise that was based on faith and obedience. Nothing other. Hear that. Nothing other. I have to be faithful as an executor to tell you as it is. Your inheritance you get with no other effort than faith and obedience. Period. All the rest is God's work. You don't get it by things you do, don't do, by how righteous you live, how little you sin, how greatly you repent, none to do. Those are all works of God. All you have to do is receive forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. He is the one that works it. Now, sanctification isn't wrought by law. It's not that he scares you to death so bad you begin to behave. Because sanctification isn't by law. Sanctification is by faith. One of the conditions for receiving the inheritance. And you already become partaker of a portion of this inheritance the moment you believe and continue to believe. That's why he said that we hold fast this inheritance, this grace of faith, if we hold fast the profession of our faith. If we hold fast the profession of our faith. So faith has to begin it, and faith has to end it, and faith has to come in all of between. Now I'm telling you like it is. It's a great inheritance. And sanctification, believe me, is a great portion. If that's all we inherited, let me tell you, it's a great portion. That is why later the Jews couldn't understand how Abraham was justified, how Abraham came into that sanctification and that righteousness when his life really didn't exemplify it when he went off with his maids and his women and all the rest. His disobediences, lying to kings, all the rest. And ta-da-ta-da-ta-da. I mean, it wasn't his exemplary life by which he earned his faithfulness, his justification. But he said he was justified by faith through the promise that had been given to him. He only had to believe that there was a seed that was coming, and he died without ever seeing it. And Abraham knew that it wasn't Isaac. That's why he was willing to sacrifice him. Because you cannot see. He died without seeing the promise. Oh, what a wonderful thing. I will tell you another thing as an executor, because I know you and I are going to die without fully receiving our inheritance, whom today we cannot see, cannot behold, even as Abraham could not behold the seed until he died. And he said, my eyes have been opened. And Jesus gave a little secret. He said, you don't understand, when he was saying to the Pharisees about the resurrection. He said, you don't understand one thing. He said, I am. That means he's still existing. Is still the God of Abraham. He said, for God isn't the God of the dead, but of the living. That means that his eyes, he came into his full inheritance. The fullness of it. But, for starters, through faith and obedience, he possessed the first portion of his inheritance, which is sanctification. If you but just simply obey like a child, if you just walk with God, and this doesn't put it on your obedience, we're not talking about sanctification on obedience, we're putting sanctification on base. Obedience is the basis for something else that I'll tell you later. If we get to it today, fine. If we don't, well, fine. But obedience is linked to something else. Faith is linked to righteousness. Faith is linked to justification. Faith is linked to sanctification. It doesn't take your obedience to obey God now and you're sanctified, because then it would be your work. You are going to inherit a flawless robe. You are going to stand perfect before God. You now stand perfect in Him. We are sanctified by faith, purified by His blood. His word has spoken. We receive the forgiveness of all of our sins, past, present, future, by faith. I am telling you the condition upon which you'll come into this portion of the inheritance. There is no other way. You won't exercise faith. You cannot have it. Now, when I say you exercise faith, what do I mean? I mean what I just mentioned before. And that is the faith of who? Huh? We also in Him obtain our inheritance, being predestinated according to the purposes of Him who worketh in us all things in the counsel of His will. What is that inheritance? Let me go back for just a second. I'll read it to you now in Acts 26 again, 18, when I told you about what the Lord was sharing to me down there in Uruguay. It says, to open the eyes, or to turn from darkness into light, and from the power of Satan into the power of God. You see, the power of Satan is to keep you into condemnation. But the power of God, the power of light, is to enlighten you to the fact that faith has set you free. But what faith? It says here, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, not by the exercise of their faith, but the exercise of their faith in His faith, by faith that is in me. Now this is the Lord speaking. This is Christ speaking to Paul. He was saying, they come into the inheritance of their sanctification, receiving their forgiveness of sin, by the faith that is in me. That's faith. If you believe that He has faith, His faith did it. If you believe His word, that's all we have to do. That's the exercising of our faith, believing what He said. That's all. But it's His faith that sanctified us. It's His faith, His body, His sacrifice, His blood, His work. Our faith is to only believe in His faith, to believe that what He said was true. All right? Let's try Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, I read you this a moment ago, but I'll pick up on it. He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal what? Inheritance. That they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So now, we see that God makes a choice. We see that it is a choice. We see that there's an affirmation that it shall be. We know that there's an inheritance for us. We know that it only belongs to the family of Jacob. We know that the family of Jacob must be sanctified. They can't stay as Jacob. And we also know that he does it because he loves us. Now we know how long it will last. It's good for how long? Forever. It's an inheritance we're going to enjoy forever. And it's a great inheritance. No one like Jacob is going to rejoice over this portion of the inheritance. Tell you what, some of you guys out there don't need the inheritance. You could have done good on your own. But I saw your hands out there. And Jacob rejoices in righteousness. Jacob rejoices in the Lord. When Jesus came and paid the price and walked us in without earth, Jacob was free. And the longer Christ walked on the earth perfect, in that perfection, in that undefiledness, he was the freer. And when he made it all the way to the cross and his sins atoned because he made it with all sin at all, in himself, and he became the perfect sacrifice, Jacob rejoiced! He rejoiced in the Lord! You say, well, why do you look up and tell the Lord? Tell us. Well, I look up so when I shout, I don't shout into this mic, I can't move, that's all. That's just to take some of the religiousness away. All right. Hebrews 9:16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. In other words, we cannot be left an inheritance. God is just. He couldn't give us a beautiful inheritance without someone dying. That's why I said when it comes to the portion that God left his son, he had to do it through a portion, not an inheritance, because God cannot die. But we'll see that later. But still, it's the same package here. And now, by means of death, he now released that inheritance to us. I want you to know that we could never be sanctified by the blood of bulls and goats, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to die before inheritance was released. You cannot receive an inheritance until he dies. And I want to tell you that your loved one was dead. Died. And you have become the inheritors of a beautiful inheritance. One of the things you've inherited off the start is the forgiveness of sins and sanctification that you might stand perfect before God and stand in peace, that peace that he was ministering to us this morning, where you can stand before him, know that you're a sinner, your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus, knowing that it's just a matter of walking with God and learning how to walk and sin less because it's just not worth it, because sins do have their consequences, and after a while we put it together and we realize I don't have to live so miserable, so sin less. And so we put an effort for it, but not because it makes any difference in the general plan of redemption, but because it's to our convenience. We're just sick of suffering and all the things that come with it. And so we put our act together. But it wouldn't make any difference because if you put all your act together and had one left, you still would have need forgiveness of sins to go up there and inherit your inheritance. All right? And so our inheritance, when can you begin to enjoy it? You could not have it before he died. But after he died, any time. But when can you really enjoy it? Well, let me tell you more accurately. When someone calls you, sends a paper. Huh? What's that word they call you when you have to appear in court? What do they put under your window? Huh? Just one of you. A subpoena to go to court? Okay, to show up in court? That's what God's doing. Sending out a subpoena for you to come. Do you know when you can start enjoying it? The moment you find out. The moment you discover it. Opening their eyes. Enlightening them. Bringing them understanding. You see, I didn't say you couldn't have your inheritance before. I said enjoy it. You can't begin to enjoy it until you discover you had it. You had it all the time. But you can walk in it. You can begin to use your money. You can begin to walk in the joy of it. You can begin to walk in the pleasure of it. It's a great inheritance. And you can begin to do it the moment you find out. And you're in the process of finding out. Bless God. And that sanctification is a glorious part of our inheritance. God chose that inheritance for Jacob. And what a guy to choose it for. I mean, how wonderful. I mean, you have to realize that I find out when you do too, so I've been enjoying it a little while now. All right? Let's go back to the verse we were in. Hebrews 9, verse 17. We read it, but now I want to stop and pause after a few words. For a testament is left of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while a testator liveth. Did Christ die? All right? As of when was the inheritance in force? Immediately upon death. That's why in Romans it speaks that we shall co-inherit with Christ all the riches in glory. That gives you an idea, just a glimpse, at the quality of this inheritance. Do you know that we are going to stand not in the judgment seat with the wicked, but we are going to stand before our Father, and we are going to be, he's going to exercise discipline over us for the times we disobeyed, because disobedience was part of the conditions of the inheritance, remember? And by obedience, which we should later find out, by obedience we and faith, we come in to inherit and to enjoy the inheritance of the things which God has given us. Now, there are so many things that he has given us, but so few conditions. But when we appear before the Father, he's going to correct us. But he says this, that he will reward us also for the things, for the good deeds. Now, there's only one good deed, and that's obedience. He's not talking about sin, because we're not being judged in the seat of the righteous, of the unrighteous. But rather, with the righteous, we stand before our Father, and his Son, who knows our hearts, who's walked with us, who knows everything as it is, will be our judge, as it were. He will judge our cause, not be our judge. He will judge our cause. Now, when we go to heaven, we will begin to receive rewards. There is a rewarding factor. I've never ministered to you this for about 8 years now. I've had a whole series prepared on rewards. I've never given it. I've never felt like the time had come to be able to share that. We hadn't gone through the cleansing part of it. How could we come into the other part? But, you know, we might soon come into that time. But one of the things that he rewards us with are the portions of our inheritance. And there are many. When he says riches of glory or in glory, they are many and they are very wonderful. And so we have to understand that we have a great inheritance. We're not going to find all about it today. And I really think that if we just drop it here, it's enough for today. Huh? I mean, you found out enough. I know you're curious, but this isn't a matter of curiosity. This is a matter of eternity. Amen? Isn't it marvelous that we're sanctified by faith? And better yet, isn't it marvelous that we're sanctified by the faith that is in him? You know, all of us are Jacob. I know that. Some of you that feel like you aren't haven't found out yet, but I know that. But I will tell you this. Don't fight with God when he brings you through the stage of the law and through legalism, through heaviness. Because if you go forth weeping, you shall undoubtedly return rejoicing. God has to exercise the law and the weight of the legality to bring you to a place where you need Christ. And when you come to this place where you need Christ, then he unfolds the most marvelous plan of grace you ever heard of your life. You see, this was the purpose of God, that the latter promise take away, cover the first. For the latter was greater. He said, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. And the principle fits here, although that's not the context of that scripture. And what God wants you to know is that some of you who have fought that off today are striving to try to come into this grace, and you can't, because it is impossible to come into this grace by faith until you first have been exercised by the word of the law. For the word of the law came first, that grace might later rest upon it. The law had to bring us to a place of absolute hopelessness, that the grace of God might then cover it. And I know that you're old Jacob, but you're not all enjoying your inheritance. And I know that even when you find it out, it's not going to work for you at first, because God sticks to his ways. He not only chose our inheritance, But he also chose the condition. And obedience to the word of God and faith in the word of God. If he says that there's no good thing in you, then don't go around listening to all these dummies that say you got to feel good about yourself, build your self-image, live that ego up while you're on earth, because God doesn't go for stuff like that. He wants you to discover how terrible you are, how absolutely yucky you are, that there's no good thing in you, that his word is true, until we start believing his report. When we believe his report, now we have the faith to believe that we have come into the first part of our inheritance, which is receiving the forgiveness, which is by faith, because he died, and you can't undo that forgiveness. Having died, the first part of the inheritance was to forgive you, and it's there. Glory to God, it's there. Listen, that was the first part of your inheritance. He gave it to you. He died. He can't take it back. Say, God, change your mind. Don't forgive me. I'm sorry. It's too late. Well, change your mind. I can't. Once I said a thing, it cannot be altered. The king of Persia, I've said it. My ring has sealed it. You're forgiven. You dummies, receive it. It's your inheritance. Have a great day. Amen.